Now, the doctors told my guest he had 1 month to live. A miracle happened, and after that, the power of God just started moving, and people were being healed. People without eyes were getting their eyes back. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, the investigative reporter. I find this very, very hard to believe. My guest, his name is Jerry Basinger. I interviewed him on the radio. Now, Jerry, you told me that there was a rabbi listening. You didn't just tell me there was a rabbi listening to us. You said this was a rabbi that had cancer, I believe. And not only did you tell me there was a rabbi listening that had cancer, but you told me his first name. You told me his last name. How did you know this?
I just knew the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. It was just a knowing inside of me.
But it wasn't always that way.
No.
You had something that no one ever wants to hear. No one wants to get a death sentence from their doctor. But I've had friends that have had cancer of the liver, and that's pretty much a death sentence. What did the doctor say exactly to you?
Well, I had gone to the doctor because I had a growth on my mouth that I thought was a wart, and I went in to have the dermatologist burn it off or whatever they did. And he looked at me and he saw some other places that didn't look right, so he wanted biopsies. And so when he did the biopsies, they came back malignant melanomas. And so he wanted to operate immediately to remove a large portion of my lower lip, my upper left ear, a big place out of my nose, my left lower eyelid, and a place out of my left forearm.
Were you kind of fearful over this?
And no, I really wasn't prepared for to hear something like that
sure.
at all. I just thought that they was going to freeze it or burn it off, and, mm-hmm. and that would be the end of it, and I'd go my merry way. And so he wanted to put me in the hospital to operate on me to do the surgeries, and he sent me to my family doctor to have blood work done preparatory to me going in the hospital. And they came back and said that I had something wrong with my liver function. So they asked me to come back the next day. They drew blood again, and I still had something wrong with my liver function. They tested me for AIDS and mononucleosis and hepatitis, and all that came back negative. And so they sent me to the hospital to have biopsies done on my liver. And then the doctor told me, he says, well, I have good news and bad news. I says, give me the good news. And he says, I don't think you need all the surgery they want to do. And I was greatly relieved, and I think, well, good, but what's the bad news? And he says, well, he says, your biopsies indicate you have advanced liver cancer, and you'll be dead in a month. He says, I wouldn't waste
my time. What kind of doctor says something like that? That's awful. Good news and bad news. That's a joke. You must have been a little, I don't know what you were.
I was spaced out by this time when he told me, when he told me I had advanced liver cancer, I just had a pit in my stomach, and the sure. hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I just kind of just felt hot all over, just like it started all the way up to my head. And he says, well, he says, you need to get your affairs in order. He says, I wouldn't waste my time with the surgery. It won't help you because you'll be dead in a month. And I says, is there anything they can do? And he says, I'm sorry, there's nothing they can do. He says, go home and get your affairs in order.
So when you left the doctor, what's going on in your mind?
My first thing that was going on in my mind is I had just been married 4 years, and what's going to happen to my wife? It wasn't so much about me, it was about my wife. I'm very much in love with her, and I was just devastated. I think, somebody else is going to be spending years with my wife instead of me. And I went home, and I couldn't tell her for a long time, and I finally had to tell her.
Sure. The clock's ticking.
Yes. And I went to church every week, like a lot of people do, and doing God a favor. And I went to church that weekend and asked the elders of the church to pray for healing for me and anoint me for healing. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I didn't know it at that instant, but the Lord healed me. I didn't feel anything like a lot of people do, that they say they feel heat in their body. I didn't feel anything. But what happened was in about 2 or 3 weeks, my melanoma started going away all by themselves. And although I was still in tremendous amount of pain with the liver cancer, and I continued to get worse and worse and worse, and I got down to 86 pounds. Mm. And During that time, God had given me Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases."
That's a very, very inclusive thing. I mean, it's everything, all yes. your diseases, all yes. of your sins. But the truth is, the people that love God are dying every day.
That's right.
Prematurely.
And I said to the Lord, I says, "Lord," I says, "I gave my life to you." I says, "What are you trying to tell me here? Are you going to heal me?" And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, "I've already healed you." And I said, "You could have fooled me, because I was getting sicker by the day. And I was getting so weak that I own a furniture repair business. And I was getting so weak that I couldn't even pick my toolboxes up to carry them. And I would go to somebody's house on a service call and tell them that God's Word says I'm healed, that I have liver cancer and melanomas." And they look at me and they say, "Well, you don't look healed." And I said, "Well, I don't feel healed either."
But how much did you weigh again?
86 pounds.
And you're working, and you're in pain, and you're telling them, "I'm fine." Yeah. Something wrong with your eyes.
Yeah. I was telling them, I says, "It's impossible for God to lie. It says right here in the Bible, it's impossible for God to lie. And he says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. So I'm healed." And then people would say, Well, I have this and this the matter with you. And I said, "Let me pray for you. God will heal you too." And I would pray for people.
Tell me the first person you remember praying for.
The very first person I remember praying for was a young man about college age. He went to church with us, and he was in the hospital with a blood disease, and he was dying. And my pastor gave me permission to go pray for him, and I went and laid hands on him and told him how God had healed me of liver cancer, and gave him my testimony, and God healed him too.
And how many years has it been since you were diagnosed with cancer with 1 month to live?
10 years.
You look pretty healthy to me.
I feel pretty healthy.
Now, I'm curious. God told you were healed in His Word, mm-hmm. but if you hadn't agreed with God's Word, do you think someone else would be with your wife right now?
I do. Because the people I pray for, the people that believe, get healed. The people that don't believe don't get healed. It's not necessarily a choice of God's to heal, because God already did everything that needed to be done for us to receive our healing. It's up to us to receive it and believe. Just like salvation, you know, we can't be saved unless we come and believe.
Tell me about, I find this almost hard to believe. In Africa, there was a woman without eyeballs.
Right.
Tell me about that.
A young lady brought her up to me. I thought she was a child because she was short, but she was an older lady. And she had given her life to Jesus Christ, and the Muslims had taken their thumbs and poked both her eyeballs out. Mm. And all she had was eye sockets. And I felt such sadness and compassion rise up in me. And I put my hands on her eyes, and I just stood there and I said, "Jesus, show her your mercy." And I stood there for about 10 minutes with my hands on her eyes. And I took my hands off, and she had eyeballs, but she still couldn't see. And I put my hands
back
on her eyes.
She had eyeballs?
She had eyeballs.
I mean, but there were no eyeballs. They were pushed. They were just pulled out almost.
Right.
And you could see the eye. Did you see the pupil? Did you just see the white?
Before, she had nothing but holes.
Right.
And afterwards, I could see the pupils and everything. They're perfectly formed
eyes. But she couldn't see.
But she could not see.
Well, that's still pretty good.
But it's not good enough for God.
What happened?
So I put my hands back on her face again, and I stood there for about 15 minutes just praising God. I didn't pray for her. I didn't ask God to put eyeballs in her. I just said, "God, show her your mercy. Show her your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy you're showing her." And I took my hands off the second time, and she saw.
How do you have such fervent? I'm not hearing 99% faith in God's Word. You have 100%. How do you have that?
That's simple. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. If it is impossible for God to lie, and if it's written in His Word, then we can have what it says He says we can have, if we'll believe. He believes His Word.
Listen, there are, I know I'm speaking to so many people right now. I'm speaking to you. Perhaps you have cancer, or perhaps you have diabetes, or perhaps you have horrible pain in your body, or perhaps your back is hurting you, or your neck is hurting you, or you have migraine headaches, or heart trouble. There's even a woman that has severe diarrhea. Could all these people be healed right now?
Absolutely.
All of them?
There's only one requirement.
What?
fear not, believe only.
It sounds too simple.
That's why everybody misses it. We try to make it something hard. God makes things easy for us. You know, we can't work to get salvation. All we can do is come to Him and receive what He has already done on the cross for us.
I tell you this, let every man be a liar, but God's word is true. Get ready, for your miracle. We'll be right back after this word. Don't you dare go away. This is phenomenal. Jerry Basinger had a friend with lung cancer. After he was healed of liver cancer, just miracle powers of healing have just flowed. Now your friend, this was a friend of yours with lung cancer. What happened to his cancer?
Well, I prayed for him in about October. I can't remember what year it was. I'm going to say 97. And the doctor said he had anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks to live. And I prayed for him for lung cancer, and he lived another 4 years.
What, did he die of lung cancer?
No, he died of a stroke.
And when he died, you were there, and you tried to pray for him to come back to life. What
yes.
happened?
Well, I was walking up and down the hall praising God all night. He was at the hospital, and he was staring with his eyes wide open, and he had no other bodily activity at all.
But you were praising God for him to come back to life.
I was just praising God. No, he wasn't dead at the time. He was alive yet.
Oh, okay.
And then I was on the other wing of the hospital, and I heard an alarm go off, and I saw several people run to his room, and I ran over there just in time to watch him disconnecting the machines off of him and pull the sheet over his head. And I loved this man. He was like my brother. And I pulled the sheet down, and I put my hand on his chest, and I said, "Bob, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come back and live now." And he jerked up in bed and sat up and said, "What happened?" And I said, "Bob, you died." And he says, "Oh, Jerry," he says, "I've been with Jesus. I don't want to be here." And we spoke for about 10, maybe 15 minutes, and then he laid back down on the pillow and drifted off again. And then I perceived he died. He didn't have any machines on him at this time, and I felt for his pulse, and I felt no pulse. And I thought, "God," I said, "I love this man. He's my brother in Christ." And I went to put my hand on his chest, and it was like I couldn't touch him. It was almost like, it sounds weird, like a force field, but I couldn't touch the man. I crawled up on the bed and straddled him with both hands and tried to put my hand on his chest.
Sure.
And the Holy Spirit says, "Yes, Jerry, I know you can do it. He's mine. Let me have him."
That must have been quite an experience for you, though.
I cried for hours because I didn't want to let him go.
Yeah, but he didn't want to stay.
But he didn't want to stay. That's right.
Now, I want you to push the gifting that is within you right now. I want you to look into the camera that's straight ahead of you, and I want you to pray. And I'll tell you what, though, it's a two-part deal. You have to believe God's word. Just all you need to know is the word that Jerry quoted a little earlier, and that is, "He's forgiven all of your sins and healed all your diseases." Now, if you believe that, when Jerry prays, and I want you, Jerry, to push this gift. God's given you a very unique gift. You know, He knows people's names. He knows their diseases. Very, very unique gift. But He, more important than Him knowing your name, more important than Him knowing your disease, God knows your name. God has every hair on your head covered. Not two sparrows fall to the ground without Him personally being aware of it. And you have importance. You really do have importance. God knows your name. Would you pray for them now, Jerry?
I would. Father God in heaven, glory and honor and praise and wisdom and might and dominion be yours forever and ever. Oh, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, every person that's watching this show that's sick, whatever their sickness is, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to touch them with your healing power. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, devil, I bind every power and principality and ruler of darkness by which you're afflicting these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Devil, I command by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you loose these people now. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ heals you now. Be loosed of your sickness. Be loosed of your diseases. Be made whole. Be made shalom in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be healed.
I can tell you by the Spirit of God that is activated within me right now that there was power. There was power. Just connect. Believe that God is not a respecter of persons. What He did for Jerry, what He did for Jerry's friend. I mean, Jerry's friend was healed of lung cancer, totally healed. And then he died of another condition. And when he died, I just think that's so phenomenal, Jerry. What did he say to you when he came back when you prayed for him?
He says, "What happened to me?" I says, "You died, Bob." He says, "I don't want to be here. I've been with Jesus."
Hmm. Yeah. Now, you told me a story that is outrageous about email. Tell me that.
Well, we have emails. I get back emails all the time about people that I've prayed for. I had one man in India. I don't know if I shared this with you. He was a pastor from India, and he got on our website, and he sent a prayer request that he had been beaten up by the Muslims in India, and he rode a bicycle from village to village pastoring, and he was beaten up, and his back was injured pretty badly, and I sent him a testimony of how God had healed me, and I prayed for him. And he says, "When I went to the office to pick up the email, I read it and I was healed instantly, and I'd never experienced that before." And he takes the letter to the villages and reads the letter, and God heals the people from the letter.
Yeah, do you know why that's going on? He did what you just instructed our people to do. He believed.
He believed, yes, sir.
He absolutely did. But I was talking about where you had the email address given to you supernaturally.
I had a man that is in the ministry that he sent me a prayer request, and he says, "Please pray for my family. We're having some trouble here." That's all he said. And I wrote him back, and I says, "Your wife left you because you're so busy with the ministry that she got up and left you, and you didn't even know she had left." And he wrote me back, and he says, "The Lord has revealed the situation to me. Tell me more." And I told him, I says, "You were sitting at your computer," and I says, "Your wife moved out of the house, and you didn't even know it. And she's gone." And he says, "I don't know where she is." And I said, "Well, I want to minister to your wife." And the Lord gave me an email address. And I felt kind of stupid doing this, but I typed this email address in here, and I typed a letter to this lady that I had never talked to or knew anything about. And as a result of that letter, God got that email right to her, and the family was reunited again.
That's got to... I mean, why do you have these gifts? Why did God choose you to have these gifts?
I don't know. I certainly wasn't worthy of it. But
you've been moving in these gifts for a long time now, and you still seem pretty humble over it.
The only reason I can say is I believe. But why can't we believe? I mean, if we know it's impossible for God to lie, why do we have a problem believing Him? If we can't believe God, how can we believe Him for our salvation if we can't believe the rest of His word that goes with it? And I'm just one of these people that's stupid enough to just believe that the Bible's true. And so I act accordingly. And it's no big secret. I mean, that's what I've done, and it seems to work for me, and I believe it'd work for anybody that would do it.
Are you an anybody? I'm an anybody. Jerry's an anybody. Are you an anybody? Are you a whosoever? Whoever believes in the Lord shall be saved. And did you know in the Greek what that means? It means healed, delivered, set free. And you say, "Well, I've done that, Sid, and it hasn't happened." Well, I can't talk about the past. I can only talk about the now. And 2,000 years ago, Yeshua, the King of the Jews, came and died. He didn't die for His own sins, the 53rd chapter of the Jewish prophet Isaiah says, that He was a perfect sacrificial lamb. He didn't die for His own sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. And when you get rid of the thing that separates you from God, it's called sin. And I don't have to tell you about it. You know what sin is, sex outside of marriage. Pornography, lying, adultery. homosexuality, addictions of any kind. You know what sin is. What you don't know is the love of God. And what you must know is the love of God. And there are people that God is weeping for right now. If you will tell God you are sorry for your sin and you need His help to stop it, and believe the blood of Jesus washes away your sins and He remembers them no more, and believe that He is for you and wants to live inside of you and will become your Lord. If you'll say this out loud in your own words, you say, I didn't remember it exact. It doesn't matter. He's after your heart in your own words. It's the most phenomenal miracle you'll ever have. The healing will come. But there's something more important, and that is your heart. Your heart. God wants to give you joy and peace. And as Jerry said, shalom in your heart. There is shalom for you. There is shalom.